pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's read in Hebrews chapter 11, just one verse this morning, in verse number 7, about this guy named Noah. I love to do character studies in the Bible. Some people love word studies, you know, like grace or the blood or mercy. And you can search those things out through the whole Bible and really see how important they are and how wonderful the things are said about them. I like character studies. I like to, at Christmas time, to think about Mary and how she must have saw things, and think about Joseph and how he must have thought about things. And Jonah is interesting, to put yourself in Jonah's shoes and go through that story of what Jonah must have felt. And Noah is also, you know, there's so much amazing things about Noah that sometimes it's hard to put ourselves in Noah's shoes to think how he must have thought or how things must have been for him. And we can never know exactly all the details, but it's neat sometimes to bring Noah to our time and think how it might have been to do what he did now. We're not going to take it out of context this morning and do that, but I want to just kind of think like Noah this morning. And Noah was a long-term thinker. It took him a long time to build the ark. It took a long time before the flood came. And while we think about Noah, we always think about the flood. We always think about the ark. We always think about what else? All those animals he had to put on the ark. But what about poor old Noah? I mean, I think about his family. I'm glad they got safely on the ark. But Noah was very important there. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. By faith. And praise the Lord, by faith. You read Hebrews, and that term is used a lot. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. If it doesn't pound it into your brain, I'm going to say it a few more times this morning. By faith. We're a people of faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You're not always going to have a plan. You're not always going to be prepared for what happens. Have faith in God and have faith in Jesus. And by faith, you can do what it is that you have to do. But by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God warned him, but God didn't let him see. So he didn't know. You ever been there? You ever been like Noah? You maybe had an idea of the plan, or you've seen the pattern, but you haven't seen the finished product. So by faith, here we go. And that's Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, not seen as yet, moved. Very important. Even when we don't know, that we move. When we can't figure it out, it's important that we move. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's begin this morning. I want to ask Brother John Greer to pray before we do.
Father, we just love you so much this morning, Lord. We're so thankful to be in your house, God. Father, as we come to this time to hear your word, we just pray, Lord, you would open our ears and open our hearts. God, let us take in your message this morning. Give a chance to the words you would have them to say. Help them to preach straight from the altar on high, Lord. Lord, we just pray if there's anybody here that needs be saved this morning, God, they would do that before they leave, Lord. And Lord, we pray that if there are Christians here that need to get in your will, God, they would also do that. Lord, we love you so much. Let us listen intently and take in the words we're about to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now you can read, and we're not going to this morning, in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, some of chapter 8, but mainly 6 and 7, the whole account of Noah and the Lord telling him to build an ark to prepare for a flood. And I don't want to get, we're not going to get into the specific details of that story today. It is something to know. You ought to understand what happened in the flood, what animals were on the ark, and all of that. That's a very important thing for us to know as Christians, but that's not where I'm going today. I read this recently, and this is kind of where I'm coming from today. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. You ever thought of that? It wasn't raining. It had never rained. They didn't know what rain was. But Noah built a boat to float in the flood. What was a flood? What was a boat? I don't know that they knew what boats were yet. And this guy Noah, he thought long term. And I want to talk to you about that this morning, thinking long term. Noah worked to secure a future for the human race. Now, we understand that maybe at that point in Noah's life, he wasn't thinking about you and I. Now, we know when Jesus was on the cross, he knew all about us. He knew all about every one of our sins, and he was dying for all of us. Noah's a good type of that, but I don't think Noah had the knowledge to think about you and I, and that if he didn't build this boat, you and I would never be. But aren't you glad, as you and I, that Noah built the boat so that we could be? Amen. I'm glad I am. And thank God for Noah. But at that time, he was just working for tomorrow. He was working for next year. He was working for the next 100 years for him and his family. Anyone here have a 401k or an IRA or an whatever else it is that you have? Do you guys have these things, a pension or a retirement? Why do we do that? We do it for tomorrow. We do it for 10 years from now. We do that for 30 years from now. We do that for our children and our grandchildren. We don't want to ever get to where we don't have enough to do what we do. We're thinking long term. And it's important that we do that in other areas of our life. And I'm very happy and thankful that Noah thought long term. I'm glad that he worked hard before he saw what would happen to build this great big boat that all he knew was to make it this long and this wide and this high and this many stories. But he did it anyways. I'm glad he did that. Noah's obedience to God and long-term thinking allowed him to be prepared when God was ready to move. We need to be prepared when God gets ready to move. You can't wait until God gets ready to move and say, okay, hang on, Lord. Let me get everything ready. No, you can't do that. When that car accident happens, you've got to be able to pray right then. When that hospital call comes and you're rushing down there, you've got to be able to pray right then. You can't wait when things happen to get ready. You've got to be ready now. You've got to think long term. If Noah had waited for rain, well, the work would have never gotten finished. Even if Noah had gotten some of the work done, it might not have been done exactly as God intended. Noah's long-term thinking allowed him to successfully complete the work God gave him to do. Can you imagine if Noah had only got some of it done and whatever became a cow hadn't got on the boat and you and I didn't get steaks now because of that? Well, we'd be mad at Noah, wouldn't we? I want to ask you this morning to ask yourself, how's your long-term thinking? Are you just hoping you get through today? Are you planning ahead for this week? Are you planning ahead for the month? Are you planning ahead for 5 years from now? How's your long-term thinking? It's important that you ask yourself this morning. Are you getting the things done in life that God intends for you to do? You just living for you? What's that famous song? I did it my way. Are you just living for you? Or are you getting the things done that God wants you to do? Are you fulfilling the vision you have for you and your family? Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we apply that to church, and it's very important to church and the things of God. But I hope you have a vision for yourself and a vision for your family. I hope that you have dreams and goals and things that you hope to accomplish up until the day you die. Because really, to the Christian, is death really death? It's just a crossing over. It's just a time frame where we're away from those we love, but we're with Jesus. Amen. And then we get to spend all of eternity together. Amen. I hope you have a plan for that. Are you fulfilling that vision? Thinking long term is tough, and it requires discipline in a few specific areas. And I want to give you those this morning before we go. Thinking long term requires patience. Boy, we hate patience, don't we? What do they say? You pray for patience and God gives you tribulation. I don't know if it exactly works like that, but it's funny how when we start thinking of something, boy, it really comes on us. You ever notice that you don't see many cars just like yours until you go and buy the car just like yours? And then when you get that car, it seems like everybody has one. Before you bought yours, you never saw them on the road before. Anybody else notice this? Does it happen for you that way? You don't understand how impatient you are until you start thinking, boy, I've got to be more patient. So as we go, you might get less and less patient with me this morning. You're going to get hungrier. It's going to be getting hotter. You're going to be ready to go. But we need patience. You can't operate long term without patience. I would say Noah waited a long time to see the rain. You can read about how long it actually was. 55 years, some say. 125 years, some say. Or 120 years, some say. 100 years, some say. I mean, you can read through Genesis 6 and 7 and try to figure out the time frame in that. And it varies based off whether you want to say from the time God said, I'm going to send rain, to when He did, or from the time Noah began building the ark, to when He did. You can in there decide what you think it is. It's not important. The important thing is remember that whether it was 55 years or 125 years, that's a lifetime to us, isn't it? We know Noah lived several hundred years. But still, you think about maybe we live, what's the average rate right now that a person lives into? 80? 70? I don't know. It was always 72 for me growing up. But I'm planning on being about 150. So, you know, to get everything done I'm wanting to do is going to take that long, right? Nobody liked it when I asked how long people live. I'll write a note to myself and not say that in sermons from now on. I guess if I'm preaching on hell and getting saved, it's a good time to bring that up. But other than that, I'll leave it alone. But it was a lifetime, really, for Noah to wait. He heard about, the Lord said, "No, I'm going to flood this place. I'm going to send rain." But he had to wait a long time for that to happen. David was anointed king as a teenager. But he had to wait a long time before he actually became the king, didn't he? Can you imagine being David and knowing you're going to be the next king? I mean, I think about being king, and David may not have thought these things, but I think, man, I get to sleep in this big kingly bed. I don't know what David's kingly bed looked like, but I've seen the ones on TV look a lot more comfortable than my bed, and eat this kingly food where the steaks are this big around, and they don't just put shredded cheese on the table. They've got big hoops of cheese everywhere. Y'all seen movies about kings, haven't you? It's just all you can eat all the time. And you can do anything you want because you're the king. Can you imagine teenager David being anointed king and expecting all of that immediately, but then having to wait for it to happen? Long-term thinking requires patience. 55 to 120 years before Noah actually saw the rain. Noah knew what God wanted him to do, but nothing happened for 120 years or so. Well, that's a lifetime to us. Thinking long-term requires patience. You may decide or figure out or feel like this is what God wants me to do, but then you're going to have patience to wait until God is ready before you can do it. Anybody ever got ahead of God's timing? You ever said, "Hey, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it right now, no matter what." It's a big mess. You make a lot of people mad. You know, because I've done that. It takes God's timing, and you've got to be patient. You may be here today praying for healing. Some of you prayed for healing, and you've received your healing immediately. Some of you prayed for healing, and you may not receive that healing except for a lifetime. But I can promise you this, you'll receive that healing.
Amen.
We'll all be healed of everything when we get to heaven, won't we?
Amen.
Hey, you're going to get it. Noah waited a lifetime for rain. You may have to wait a lifetime for healing. But in the grand scheme of things, in the whole of eternity, how much is a lifetime? It's nothing.
Amen.
It's a lot. You may say, "Yeah, you say it's nothing, preacher. Come live a day in my shoes." And hey, I understand that. I pray for you. But we have to have patience. We have to think long term. Healing is coming, either in this life or in eternity. The problem with waiting is it takes an eternity to get here, it seems. But right now is no time at all when we think about eternity. Anybody have a list of things you'd like to do before you die? You say, "Hey, these are the things that I really want to get done," or "I want to see these things," or "I want to experience these things," or "I want to do this for God before my life on earth is finished." Well, do you plan to die this week? Anybody? Nobody, right? I mean, we don't plan on that. I'm going to be an old man before I die. Some of you are already there. And you're planning on being a much older man before you die. I was looking at Brother Michael. I wasn't looking at Brother Michael.
Me.
Not at all, Brother Homer. Be patient. Don't try to do it all right now. Wait on that timing to get right. Noah waited a long time for the rain to come. You know, when we first got married, Miss Shanae and I always have to throw her out there because she's the better looking end of this situation. But amen, come on. That was getting me brownie points if you just said amen louder right there. But when we first got married, and thank God for good parents with more money than I had, because when we first got married, I wanted, and you probably were all in this same boat when you first got married, I thought in those first couple weeks of marriage I had to buy everything I'd ever need for a lifetime of being married to Miss Sinead. Anybody else do that when you first got married? And man, I went broke trying to do that. I ran out of money quicker than I could get all the stuff. But I thought, if we're going to be married and live together, we've got to have a new vacuum and a microwave and a dishwasher and couch and chairs and a bedroom set. And the yard's got to be just right. And I got to have a lawnmower. And all these things just overwhelmed me all at once. I had to have it all right then. But I mean, our marriage wasn't going to be over that week or that month or that year. I had the rest of my life to come up with all those things. And I figured that out once I ran out of money. And I said, "Well, guess we'll have to wait." Be patient. Long-term thinking requires patience. I'll read to you some things people said about patience. Patience means living out the belief that God orders everything for the spiritual good of His children. That's J.I. Packer. John Phillips says, "Are we prepared to take the awful patient ways of God? We must not be infected by the world's valuation, either of speed or success." The world says you've got to be right now, hurry up and do it, or you won't be successful. Somebody else will do it before you do, or somebody will get done before you. Use God's timing. Be patient. Think long term, but be patient. Phillips Brooks was a Boston pastor, and somebody asked him one day, "Why are you always so agitated?" He says, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." You ever feel that way? Thinking long-term requires patience. Second, I would say to you that thinking long-term requires planning. You like to plan? I'm a planner. I over-plan to the point where those involved in what I'm planning, it gets on their nerves. It drives them nuts. But I've got to have it just planned out just so, where in my brain it's chaos and I go insane with my chaos. But you may not be as much a planner as me, but if you don't plan at all, what's that old saying? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Know how it goes? Thinking long term requires planning. What was Noah told to do? He was told to build an ark. I'm sure at that point in his life, because the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was at a place in his life where he says, "Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do." I don't know if Noah knew about Africa at this point, but Noah was probably saying, "Lord, I'll go to Africa even if that's what you want me to do." Noah said, "Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do." And the Lord said, "All right, build an ark." I'm sure at that moment Noah said, "An ark? What's an ark?" "I'll build an ark, Lord, if you'll tell me what it is." "Oh, okay, Lord, it's just a large boat." "Well, what's a boat, Lord?" Thinking long term requires planning. You may not even know what it is God wants you to do, but you know He wants you to do it. The only pattern you have is the Word of God. Amen?
Right.
Follow the pattern, and you'll do exactly what He wants you to do. I promise you that. In spite of never having seen the finished product, Noah followed the plan and built what God intended. But what do you and I want to do? How do you put a puzzle together? I look at the front of the box. Do you do that? Makes it so much easier to make the pieces fit because I know what the picture ought to look like. A puzzle's not designed to be put together that way, though, is it? The pieces are all cut so that each piece only fits in a certain spot. And without ever seeing the picture, we should be able to put a puzzle together upside down without there being a picture there altogether and making those pieces fit together. But I like doing it by the picture. This is the way I like to do it. In life, we don't always have a picture. We don't always have a finished product. We've just got to follow the instructions we have, even if we feel like they're insufficient, and do what we know without seeing that finished product. Noah was also told to gather some of all of the animals. Can you imagine? Not even doing this, but just planning to do this. That's overwhelming, isn't it? Can you imagine leaving church today and being told you've got to go get some of all the animals? Or they're all going to die and you've got to get them all on this boat that you've got to build at the exact same time? I imagine Noah was greatly overwhelmed. Without a plan, Noah would have failed. Thinking long term requires planning. I'll tell you, if you don't plan for what that long term thing is, you will be overwhelmed. You will stop and nothing will get accomplished. And if you don't do it, who's going to? No one else has the same dream that you do. No one else dreams it the same way that you dream it. If you leave it undone, it'll never get done. You know, thinking of Noah getting all these animals on the ark, I feel that way these days. We don't have two boys to get in the car. We have three boys to get in the car. And two of them don't walk very well. Jack's doing pretty good. He can walk to the car and buckle himself in. Thanks, Jack. Henry can walk to the car and buckle himself in. That don't mean Henry will walk to the car and buckle himself in. And Thomas, that boy, he won't do nothing. He's lazy. He lays around all the time like this. And I feel like Noah sometimes, trying to hoard my little family onto the boat to drive to church. And it's hard to get them there. Sometimes I'm already here and Miss Shanae has to do it by herself. And I see her come in and that look on her face means go to the water fountain right now and get away from her. Because you didn't help her get those babies in the car. Noah had to plan on getting all the animals, his family, and supplies for all of them into the ark. So thinking long term requires planning. You know, if you take planning and patience, let them run parallel. We think about patience, we say, boy, he had to have a lot of patience to wait for that rain to come. But if you think about the planning he had to do and then the work that came with it, he may have been thinking, Lord, thank you for all that time to get that work done. If you're impatient, don't get in a hurry. Say, Lord, thank you for the extra time to get done what I need to. I can be much more prepared that way. Thinking long term requires planning. If you fail to plan, you must plan on failing. I would guess this morning that most of what we would do never gets done because we don't take the time to plan it out. Are you guilty of that sometimes? The things I would do, I do not. You can blame that on whatever you want. But really, the finger should be pointed at me because I'm the one who failed to plan to get them carried out. I read a book recently about Christmas and then holidays that families spend together, but mainly with Christmas. And the man who was doing it said, Dad, you're the reason that those times aren't more fun for your family. I thought, well, I don't like this. This guy's being mean to me. But he said, who else is going to plan it out? Who else is going to plan the fun things you do at Christmas and birthdays and all those times? And our families suffer when the leader doesn't do what he's supposed to do, when he doesn't plan what needs to happen. Thinking long term requires planning. Planning can get tough because usually planning involves someone other than you. I like to do it my way. I like to do it in my time. And I like to just assume that you all are going to go along with me when it gets time to do it because I've got it all figured out. But you know the problem with that is in my brain I've been working this thing out for 6 months. And then come to you and this is the first time you've ever heard it. You may not be excited about it as much as I am 6 months after thinking about it. It may take you 6 months as well. That's why we have to plan. But that's also why planning is tough. Because you've got to involve everyone else who's involved in it. If I decide, well, we're going to go to the movies and 3 weeks from now, me and Jack and Henry and Miss Shanae and Thomas, and we're going to go to this place and have dinner, and then we're going to have ice cream here after we go to the movie. And after the movie, we're going to have Coke and popcorn for everybody. And this is how much money it's going to take, and this is what we're going to do to get that money. And I get all this worked out in my head. And then the day of, I say, all right, got a plan. We're going to the movies. Miss Shanae's liable to say to me, well, Thomas has a doctor's appointment, and Jack has T-ball, and Henry's supposed to sign up for school today. No, wait a minute. I had a plan. Planning requires involving other people. It's easy to do it all right here, isn't it? It's easy to get over in your office and just write things out. This is what we're going to do. The problem is getting those involved, going along with you. And they don't want to get mad at them. Why don't they do it just like I want to do? I plan to go to the movies, and they don't want to go with me. I'm the dad. I'm the leader. We're going because I say so. And then Thomas cries because he's sick. I'm supposed to go to the doctor. Henry cries because he wanted to go to school. And Jack cries because he had baseball. And Miss Shanae cries because everybody else is crying. And then I'm mad and we go nonetheless. You see the importance of planning? And I make it in a silly way, but it works that way in your life. At your job, with your career, with your education, with your family, with your church. You have to think long term. Thinking long term requires patience, it requires planning, and then it requires persistence. Well, I like persistence. I like somebody who just won't give up. I grew up my preacher telling this story, and I'm going to use it from him this morning. He talked about these two boys fighting. He's driving down the road one day, and these two boys were out there wrestling. And there's one great big boy, like me, and one little bitty boy, not like me. And boy, that big boy was just giving it to him. I mean, he's just letting this little bitty guy have it. And the preacher said, I better stop this and break him up. You know, he's going to hurt this little guy. Well, he got in there and he separated him. He held him apart and he said, stop, boys. Y'all calm down. Quit that fighting. And he said, the big boy kind of looked relieved. And said, this little bitty guy said, got mad. He said, preacher, leave me alone. He said, man, what do you mean leave you alone? This guy was just wailing on you. I was trying to help you out. He said, preacher, I was just about to wear him out and whip him. I was getting there, preacher. I was getting there. Y'all heard about the little boy playing baseball and he's out there in the outfield and I mean he's swatting butterflies and he's picking grass out of the ground and he's watching airplanes, you know, he ain't paying attention at all. And a guy comes out and says, hey young man, who's winning this ball game? And he looks up and it's 21-0. And he says, well, we're losing 21-0. And the man says, boy, I tell you, that's a tough lot you got there, 21-0. He says, well, it's all right. We haven't batted yet. Y'all heard that before? Persistence. Life takes persistence. A man charged with stealing a turkey appeared in court. That any of y'all ever steal a turkey? You may not have stole one. You may have shot one on somebody else's land you weren't supposed to. Anybody want to confess up right there this morning? He told the judge that his action, this stealing a turkey, was an answer to prayer. How about that? Brother, if I steal a turkey, you going to come to the courthouse with me? When the judge asked him to explain, the man said, "Well, Judge, it was the night before Thanksgiving and I didn't have a turkey. I prayed to the Lord to send me one, and at midnight I still had no turkey. So then I prayed for the Lord to send me after a turkey. And He did." Now that's poor theology, isn't it? But I do like that man's persistence. He put feet on his prayers. Now, I'm not telling you if you're praying for money to go rob the bank today. But we can apply that persistence in many areas of our life. Persistence is continuing steadfastly. Keeping on, keeping on. And we can see that about Noah today. He was persistent. He continued steadfastly. I would imagine at first Noah was just a big joke in his neighborhood. Now I'm just imagining here. I don't have Bible for this. Well, a little bit of Bible for this. But I imagine they came by and said, "Hey, Noah, you know, just this big joke. He's just a laugh." And they're going down to Dinah's to have lunch. And it's the what's the new Noah joke for the day that we can talk about? Right? "Noah, what's that you're building on your lawn?" "An ark." "What's an ark, Noah?" I mean, can you see him just laughing it up about Noah? Imagine Noah was thinking, well, if you'd listened to the sermon I preached last week, you'd know what an ark was and you'd know why I'm building this ark. But they apparently didn't. You know, in Noah's day, instead of dumb Pollock jokes, they probably had dumb Noah jokes. Right? Instead of, you know, they'd say, "What's the difference between a dumb Pollock and dumb Noah?" "Noah has an ark in his front yard." You know, at least the Pollock was smart enough not to do that. Anybody Polish here that I just offended? Okay, good. Praise the Lord for that. But eventually, you know, after Noah was a joke to begin with, I'm sure. Eventually, someone probably tried to sit down and have a serious conversation with Noah. "Noah, we're all very concerned about you. You're building an ark on your front lawn." Have you ever had these serious conversations with anyone? They ever come to you and you're just trying to do the will of the Lord for your life? I've had those. Decided to move to Lynchburg, Virginia, of all places. And I got a serious talk. "Bud, Lynchburg, Virginia is a long way from home. It'd be hard for everybody to see the family." Not from Brother Danny and Miss Peggy. All right, they didn't give me that talk. But you get those sometimes, don't you? "Noah, you're building this odd-looking structure to prepare for something you call rain. Noah, why would water fall from the sky?" Can you imagine how the people must have thought that were in Noah's life at this time, given that serious conversation? "Noah, why don't you just let all this go and let us help you get things back to normal?" Can you imagine how they must have talked to Noah? He's a joke to begin with, and then somebody said, I got to talk to Noah. This has got to stop. And then after Noah was persistent enough to keep on keeping on and doing what he knew God had told him to do, probably just made people mad. They probably got angry with Noah. "What do you mean we're all sinners? What do you mean some voice from heaven that you've been hearing is going to send rain and kill us all if we don't get on your boat? Noah, you just lost it. Right. You think you're better than us and you're judgmental, Noah."
That's right.
"Noah, that giant structure you're building in your front lawn goes against our homeowners association agreement." Can you imagine what he must have heard? "Well, Noah needs a permit to build something that big. I'm going to turn him in. Because if I let evil go by, if somebody doesn't do something about it, nobody ever will." Noah would have probably been sued these days. And they'd have made him take the ark apart and donate the wood to some charity somewhere. Isn't that right? That's what would have happened to Noah. But Noah continued in what God told him to do with great persistence. Thinking long term requires persistence. Ask you these things before we close. What have you quit just since January? I mean, just since January. Noah waited a long time, a lifetime, to see rain. And he kept going. He was persistent. What have you quit just since January? And I'm not guilty. I asked myself that same question. I'm not trying to be down on you this morning. Some of you got really sad. I had you joking about Noah's Homeowners Association, but then you got really upset with me after that. You don't have to tell anybody. I promise. We're not going to make you stand up and talk about the diet that you've been failing at and eating too many donuts. That's me. What have you quit just since January? What is it that you wish you could do, but you never do try because you're assuming that it's too much or it's too big? Are you guilty of that? Man, I wished I could do this. And you never even give it a shot because it's too much. You know, kind of like eating an elephant. Not that we would eat an elephant. Can you imagine having a great elephant in front of you and having to eat it? But my high school principal taught me that you eat an elephant. Anybody ever heard this? One bite at a time. And if you don't take that first bite, you'll never eat that elephant. But if you start eating one bite at a time, eventually that elephant will go away. It may take you a long time, but it'll be gone. And he would tell me that as he sent me home with hundreds of algebra problems to do before the next morning. Well, I want to sleep too. But what is it that you wish you could do, but you never try because it's too big or it's too much? Our motto should be more than yesterday, less than tomorrow. That's how persistent we should be. Until God gives up, I'm never going to give up. Well, that ought to be our motto, shouldn't it? He's never going to give up either. And I bring you this message this morning to challenge you to think long term. Think long term with your career. Think long term with your education. Think long term with your family. Think long term with your church. Where? Ask yourself, where are we heading? And how are we going to get there? Where am I heading in my career? How am I going to get there? Don't just expect it to happen. Where am I headed with my family? How do I want my children to turn out? How do I want my wife and I to retire? How do I want things to be in the end? Where am I heading? How am I going to get there? Apply that in those different areas of your life. Financially, with your health, spiritually. I challenge you today to plan for the long term. To be patient as those plans develop. And to be persistent as you move forward with those plans. Because it never rained while Noah was building the ark. If you wait for the rain, it'll never happen.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.